हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभां व्यास शंकर मध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्तां वंदे गुरु परंपरां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ओम ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांतिः। ओम भद्रं कर्णे भिश्रुणुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टवागंसस्तनुभिः व्यशेम देवहितैर्यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ओम शांति शांति शांतिः। प्रज्ञानां शुप्रतानै स्थिरचरनिकर व्यापिभर्व्याप्य लोकान् भुक्त्वा भोगान् स्थविष्टान् भुक्त्वा भोगान् स्थविष्टान् पुनरपि धिषणोद्भासितान् कामजन्यान् कामजन्यान् पीत्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् स्वपिति मधुरभुं मायया भोजयन्नः माया संख्यातुरीयम् ख्यातुरीयम् परममृतमजम् ब्रह्म यत्तन्नतोऽस्मि यो विश्वात्मा विधिज विषयान् प्राश्य भोगान् स्थविष्ठान् पश्चाच्चान्यान् स्वमति विभवान् पश्चाच्चान्यान् स्वमति विभवान् ज्योतिषस्वेन सूक्ष्मान् ശാസ്വേന സൂക്ഷ്മാം സർവാനേതാം പുനരപി ശനൈ സ്വാത്മനിസ്ഥാപയിത്വാ ഹിത്വാ സർവാൻ വിശേഷാം വിഗത ഗുണഗണഃ പാത്വസോ നസ്തുരിയഃ വിഗത ഗുണഗണഃ അസൌ തുരിയഃ നഹ പാതു. ഇൻ യെസ്റ്റർഡേസ് ക്ലാസ് വി അണ്ടർസ്റ്റുഡ് ക്ലിയർലി from 15th karika that even though in all the Upanishads differently the topic of srishti creation is presented, still the discussion on creation is not at all for establishing creation. It is a method of teaching that through this method of teaching, presenting the reality as a cause, Upanishad mainly wants to drive home the important teaching that the reality is non-separate from the entity of the universe. Ananyatvam, non-separateness, very important. Okay, we need to understand there's no reality is non-separate from the universe. Universe is non-different from the reality. That is how we can say the whole universe is only appearance. It is only as though appearance of the only reality. So the whole the srishti is for establishing the oneness of the reality only. That teaching Gaurapacharya again reinforced in his 15th karika, and Shankara Bhagavatpada in his commentary also added the other statements of Shruti pertaining to the dialogue happening between prana and other organs. That those such statements also are there in all the Upanishads differently, but we should not take them seriously. What is the tatparyam? Tatparyam means the ultimate, what is the message conveyed through such teachings is very important. Just as glorification of prana is the exaltedness of prana, okay, is something to be understood through those discussions. Not really, we don't take those our discussions seriously. In the same way, the discussion on Shruti also should be understood, that it is not, we should not take it very seriously that really Brahman is the cause. So that he made very clear. Then, towards the end, we saw in the 16th Karika, in Shankara Bhagavatpada's introduction to the 16th Karika, we saw that Pura Pakshi, Shankara Bhagavatpada's assumed Pura Pakshi, presents intelligently mantras from Karmakanda, mantras from Jnanakanda also. From Jnanakanda, he mentioned the words, how that Atma should be enquired into, the nature of the Atma should be enquired into, Atma va are drashtavyaha. Then, Atma's, the statement which reveals the nature of the Atma being free from sins, etc. So quoting some statements from Jnanakanda, also quoting some statements from Karmakanda, as okay, one should perform this ritual and the karmani one should perform Agnihotam rituals, etc. Presenting these quote mantras from both Upanishad, both these parts of the Upan Veda, and Yanaka, this person asked, what is the purpose of this Upasanam? What is this Upasanam prescribed for? Actually, what he implied was, why there is, by asking such question, what is the purpose of this Upasanam, what he implied was, why there is a difference in the teaching of Karmakanda and Jnanakanda. In Karmakanda, accepting the duality, rituals are prescribed, upasanas are prescribed. In Jnanakanda, negating duality, and revealing the non-duality, there, inquiry to the Atma is prescribed. Nature of the Atma is prescribed. So why there is difference? So then in the 16th Karika, the answer was given. No, because Veda Shastram is highly compassionate. Out of compassion, it prescribes different teachings for people of different intellectual capacities, only with the only aim of helping all people of all capabilities ultimately to arrive at the vision of oneness of the reality. Because they all need to be intellectually, they need to become intellectually sharp, emotionally stable. There is mental preparation is very important in having this in vision of this ultimate truth, the understanding this abstract fact. This is not an ordinary fact. All that is, there is only Brahma. It is not an ordinary fact. It is a fact, an abstract fact, non-refutable fact. It needs to be understood. Understanding this fact, the whole human life becomes meaningful and successful, becomes lived properly. Therefore, this is the ultimate aim of a human being. This fact should not be missed. One cannot afford to miss this, understanding this fact of oneness of reality. But people are not ready. With their minds are not ready. Minds are gross, raw, immature. With a lot of problems. The impetus is there. Agadveshas are there. So, how? All natural problems. One has to be helped to handle those problems, to overcome those problems, to become prepared adequately, to be able to focus, understand, ascertain, assimilate it. One needs some change has to happen in the personality development has to happen, for which Upanishad, in order to discover the absolute person, the development has, personal development is important, for which Upanishad prescribes, the whole Veda Shastram prescribes all these disciplines. Okay? The people of different levels of understanding capabilities. So, you mentioned, we saw the 16th Karika. Now we are going into the 17th Karika. The last, in the commentary, we have beautiful sentence. We read from Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary. Dayal, page number 421. The last, which we read yesterday itself. I wanted to again hear that sentence. Dayaluna Vedena. Vedaha is Dayaluhu. And Dayaluna Vedena Anukampaya. You know, Anukampaha means because of this concern, care, you know, the dampness, Anukampaha, isn't it? The kindness. Anukampaya. What is the aim of Veda? Why we all revere Veda? Because anything which contributes for the wellness of the whole should be accepted. Isn't it? What the teaching which helps us have the understanding which contributes to the well-being of entirety. That is the greatness of Veda. Isn't it? Because Vedic teaching is not for any, there's no teaching as a sectarian teaching, isn't it? It is for the loka samasta sukhina bhavantu, where everybody be happy, where all worlds be happy. That is the vision. That is why the teaching is great. That's why Veda is highly compassionate, isn't it? So, dayaluna vedena anukampaya, what is Veda's intention? San margagaha santaha. Having faith in the Shastram, understanding the teaching, living that way of life enjoined by the Shastram, katham, somehow, imam uttamam ekatva drishtim prapnuyuhu, imam uttamam ekatva drishtim prapnuyuhu, may all people, doesn't matter how intellectually inferior or superior, may all people attain this exalted vision of oneness of reality. Thereby may all people enjoy the benefit of this vision. May all people have the luxury of reveling in the vision of fullness. With this great intention, Upanishad, okay, teaches, presents teachings, different teachings, different disciplines for people of different levels of understanding. But nowhere Upanishad teaches duality to be real. Nowhere Upanishad says duality is unreal also. Definitely, according to Veda Shastram, duality is not unreal. It is not real also. But in our perception, there is duality. In our experience, there is duality. So we mistake what is perceived, what is available for experience to be reality helplessly. So there's an error in the perception, our perception of the world of duality. What is the error? Where is the error? We mistake what is as though to be real. What is empirically, relatively real to be absolutely real? Because of our ignorance of what is absolutely real. So, this Upanishad's aim is to help us correct that error. And he, that's what towards the end, Shankara Bhagavatpada said, he quoted mantra from Kathopanishad, sorry, Keno Upanishad, Brahman is not an object of thought, not object of knowledge at all. Brahman cannot be known. Brahman is that because of which mind functions. That is Brahman, not anything that you meditate upon. And therefore, and that Brahman, because of which mind functions, because of which everything functions, because of which this world exists, that Brahman, that reality you are. Therefore, all that is here is that only that Brahman. This is the actually teaching from the Upanishads. Having said that, he concluded, now we are going to enter into the next introduction to the following 17th Karika. It's okay? Okay. Shankara Bhagavatpada introduces the 17th Karika. What he says here? Vision of non-duality is the right vision. Vision of non-duality, non-duality of the reality is right vision, perfect vision. Okay, right vision. And this vision, how do you arrive at? Only through the pramanam called Shastram. Only through the means knowledge called Shastram. Also with supportive logic. Shastra Upapattibhyam. Page number 421. Sanskritam as well as English, you find it on the same page. Shastra Upapattibhyam. Shastram Upapattihi means reasoning, logic. We have different words for logic. Tarkaha, logic. Upapattihi, yuktihi, logic, reasoning. Upapatti is another word. So we can see Acharya is using different words in different contexts. Therefore, Shastra Upapatti Bhyam, through this valid means of knowledge called Shastram, and also through this, and also through the appropriate reasoning which is accepted by the Shastram, this vision of non-duality of the reality, which is ascertained, okay, through this pramanam alone, is what? Samyak darshanam. That alone is perfect vision, right vision. Tad bahyatvat mithya darshanam anyat. And he says, what about other schools of thought? Others' views. See, other than the non-duality, only vision, non-duality alone is said to be, vision is only of non-duality. Others are only views, contentions, not vision, okay? Because non-duality being the fact, being the reality, it is vision of the fact. Vision of the fact. Whereas others are contentions which are subject to differ from person to person. Therefore, he says, anyat means what? Other views, all other views, all their contentions, are systems of philosophy, okay, are false. All their views are false views. Why? Mithya anyat darshanam mithya. All, please make a note, in this context, the word mithya is used in the sense of false, wrong. All other contentions, other views are wrong. Why? Because tad bahyatva, shastra bahyatvat. Because they all keep themselves away from shastram. They keep shastram away from themselves, which means they do not follow shastram as the pramanam. Even though some people have shraddha in the shastram, saying that they have shraddha in the shastram also, still they rely only on reasoning, they rely only on their own intellect. Therefore, whatever views they arrive at, conclusions they arrive at, all their views, contentions, conclusions, the doctrines they arrive at, using their intellect, their thinking capacity, they're all within the realm of the material world only. Therefore, they view other views where other philosophy, systems of philosophy, where duality is said taken to be reality, their views are false. Why do they take the duality as the reality? Because they do not use shastram as the valid means of knowledge. Even people who have some sort of faith in the, who call themselves astikas, who respect Veda Shastram, also still do not really use Shastram properly. That is why they end up having their own false views, wrong views. What is the view? Duality is real for them. Not only that, he says, itahacha, what is the problem in accepting the duality as the reality? Okay. Itahacha, mithya darshanam, this erroneous perception, the wrong view of all these dualists, dvaitinam. Dvaitinam mithya darshanam, the erroneous perception, false views of the dualists, we can put all of them, Sankhya philosophers, Vaisheshika philosophers, Nyaya philosophers, Astika, people who have faith in Shastram, even Nastika Darshan, Darshanikaha, even Bauddha, Arhata, all of them also, all of them are uniformly of this view that duality is real. And what happens, such view of having seen duality as the reality, even gives room for having the problems of impurities in the form of ragadveshas. Therefore, because of two reasons, they do not use Shastram as the pramanam, therefore their view is wrong, and having the wrong view results contributes for what? Contributes for becoming subject to these impurities, the defects or evils in terms of ragadveshas, like strong passion and aversion. Therefore what? He says, ragadveshadi dosha aspadatvatu. He says, dvaitinam mithya darshan, dvaitinam darshanam mithya. The views of a dualist is erroneous, wrong, false, because ragadveshadi dosha aspadatvat. They have aspadatvam. Aspadatvam, ragadveshadinam aspadatvam. They give room for having to be affected by the impurities, the evil such as ragadveshas. So aspadatva means they have the status of providing room for being afflicted by the defects in terms of strong passion, aversion, etc. Means what? Anger, all these things. See, ordinary people who are not great thinkers, naturally all human beings have these what? These emotional problems. There's no mind which is free from ignorance. There's no human mind which is free from erroneous perception. Therefore, no human mind is free from erroneous perception caused problems, erroneous notions. Therefore, no human being is free from these common human fundamental problems centered on I. Therefore, it's very natural for all of them to have this fundamental problem, smallness, etc. Therefore, what happens? As a result of which, all of them naturally helplessly have this mental illness, okay, of having strong likes and dislikes, anger, jealousy, hatred. All this is very natural. Anybody will have. But they are opposed with thinkers. They are thinkers, great thinkers. In spite of being very intelligent people, not ordinary people, highly intelligent people, brilliant people, become very focused. That is why they could arrive at it. See, within the realm of material world, in the realm of world of duality, they have their tapas is amazing. They're very focused. That's why they're revered as great teachers and acharyas, because they work very hard to arrive, like our modern scientists. They deserve tremendous reverence. But the problem is, all their discoveries are right, relatively right, from their own standpoint, okay, relatively real, relatively correct, from their own standpoints, within the realm of objective universe. That's all. But we cannot take their views, which the conclusions they arrive at with the hard work, through hard work, as the right conclusion. Because the standpoint of the absolute reality, they're all only relatively real, they are wrong. What? So this is not a great knowledge. The knowledge which contributes for triggering the fundamental problems, triggering the emotional problems, is not a good knowledge, not a right knowledge. That's what Shankara Bhagavatpada says. Having said that, And he explains, katham, how. How, okay, the wrong view mistaken to be a right view, okay, results in, contributes for the triggering of emotional problems. He simply says, now he talks about the people. Okay, what is the nature of these so-called great thinkers, known as profound, okay, the philosophers? So he says, let us see it here. Karika number 17 in page number 422. Swasiddhanta vyavasthasu. Swasiddhanta vyavasthasu. Dvaiti no nischita dridham. Dvaiti no nischita dridham. Swasiddhanta vyavasthasu. Swasiddhanta vyavasthasu. Dvaiti no nischita dridham. Nischita dridham. Parasparam virudhyante. Parasparam virudhyante. Tairayanna virudhyate. Tairayanna virudhyate. Tairayanna virudhyate. The 17th Karika, Gaudapada Acharya just says little about these people. Who are the people? Dvaitinaha. Dvaitinaha means dualists. Who are the dualists? People who strongly believe duality is real. The world of duality is real. The world of plurality is real. Okay, who believe. And whose efforts in arriving at the truth has not really taken them to the truth. They're all genuine people, hardworking people, but they use wrong pramanams, isn't it? So, dvaitinaha, dridham nischitaha, dridham nischitaha, dridham is adverb here. Firmly settled. Dridham nischitaha means they firmly settled in what they say. So, siddhanta vyavasthasu. They firmly settled, okay, on their conclusions. They firmly settled in their doctrine. Swa siddhanta. Siddhantam, when you say, it's a conclusion. It's a theory of, the theory which I have presented, the theory, the doctrine, is siddhanta. And here, they all have their own different theories of creation. They all have their own different systems of philosophy. They have their own different views of the truth. And even the features of the theories are different. These are different. The views are different. The efforts, you know, the steps which they followed to arrive at the conclusions also are different. Therefore, being different, okay, in their views, naturally, parasparam virudhyante. They mutually contradict each other. Whereas, ayam taihi na virudhyate. Ayam is a third person singular pronoun. Ayam here means this. This means what? This person. Okay. This person, nadvaiti, in whose vision non-duality is real, he does not contradict with any of them. Taihi na virudhyate. Advaiti does not contradict with anyone. Does not come in conflict with anyone. But they all, okay, they all have problems with each other. Is it clear? Parasparam viruddhyante, ayam taihi na viruddhyate. So Gaudapadacharya says only this much. So here what we need to understand here. Shankarapadapada explains here. So siddhanta vyavastha. Siddhanta vyavastha. Siddhanta vyavastha means the theories, the features of theories. We're going to see later on. Siddhanta vyavastha. Swa siddhanta rachana niyamaha. Siddhanta vyavastaha means siddhanta rachana niyamaha. The rules strictly followed in arriving at their conclusions. This steps of arguments, steps of arguments strictly followed, okay, in arriving at their conclusion. They're called niyamaha. Siddhanta rachana niyamaha. So, all these philosophers are firmly established the basic principles in the set of rules, the set of the steps of arguments. No? They have different steps of, in order to arrive at the conclusion, they follow certain steps. So, he says, in their own features of theories, in their steps of arguments, they strictly follow to arrive at the conclusions. Okay, they are firmly settled. So, Siddhanta Vyavasthaha means Siddhanta Rachana Niyamaha. They all strictly hold on to their own rules, their own steps of arguments, their own features, okay, in arriving at their conclusions. Who? Dvaitinaha. Shankaracharya says, who are those Dvaitinaha? Who are they? Don't you know? We already discussed them in our previous class, mantras. He says, Kapila, Kanada, Buddha, Arhatadi. See, Kapilaha, not ordinary, great sage. Okay. Kapila Muni, propounder of the Sankhya system of philosophy. Kanadaha, now propounder of the Vaiseshika system of philosophy. They're all Astikaha. Okay, there are who claimed that they have Shraddha in the Shastra. Okay. Whereas Buddha Arhata. Buddha means, even Buddha the non-believer. And then Arhata, the Jain. Okay, the Jaina Matastapaka. So, Arhata Adi, Drishti Anusarinaha. Anusarinaha means followers. Here he says, Dvaitinaha, the dualists, people who strongly believe the duality is real, those people are the followers of the views of these great philosophers. Kapila Kanada Buddha Arhatadi Drishti Anusarinaha. Drishti Anusarinaha, Dvaitinaha. Okay, all these dualists who are the followers of these various, okay, the acharyas of different schools of thought are very strictly settled in their principles, in their set of rules, in their steps of arguments they follow, they're very firm. Therefore what? That is how following them only they have arrived at these conclusions. They're very strict. So what? Being differing in every respect. And they're of very strong view. Very strong view. Evam eva, yeshah, evam eva, yeshah paramarthah. Yeshah, yeshah paramarthah eva. Yeshah eva paramarthah evam. This alone is real. Okay. This alone is real. Means what? The ultimate truth can be only this. This alone can be the absolute reality. This alone can be the ultimate truth. This alone can be the ultimate fact. It means no. Nobody can refute my view. Okay? This alone is the ultimate fact, ultimate truth. Is their view. Na anyatha. Na anyatha means not otherwise. No, nothing else. Nothing else is ultimate truth. This alone can be, this my view alone can be the ultimate truth. This is their thinking. Why? We're going to see later on. Tatra tatra anuraktaha. They are tatra tatra anuraktaha means they're highly passionate about their views. They're very much attached to their own views. Once you have passion towards your own view, naturally what people who oppose your view, who do not agree with your view, will become your object of hatred. Therefore, tatra tatra anuraktaha means all those people are attached to their own conclusions, their own doctrines, their own theories. Pratipaksham cha atmanaha pashyantaha. Pratipaksha means enemy. Okay. So seeing others, pashyantaha, seeing people of other views who differ from their views, whose views differ from theirs, and who don't accept their views, who oppose their views, so seeing them as enemies, seeing them as opponents, pratipaksham, atmanaha pratipaksham pashyantaha, seeing their own as the one's enemies, seeing people of different views to be their enemies, one's own enemies, dishantaha, okay, also hating other person who is of a different view, they become people of strong passion and aversion. Iti evam ragadvesha upetaha. Ragadvesha upetaha. They become like ordinary, simple, non-thinking people. The so-called great thinkers also become what? The people of ragadveshaha. People of strong likes and dislikes. People of strong passion and aversion. They become evam ragadvesha upetaha bhavanti. Then why they come in conflict with each other? Why they contradict? He says, so siddhanta darshana nimittam, based on their theories, based on their conclusions, they arrive at specifically for safeguarding their system of philosophy. Parasparam means what? Anyonyam viruddhyante. They contradict each other. They oppose each other. Isn't it? In fact, here you have to stop and understand. Shankar Bhagavatpada, what he mentions, what he implies is, if we do not take Shastram as the Pramanam, we can never understand the common human universal fundamental problem. Okay, fundamental problem. You can never understand. There is a common human universal fundamental problem on the part of every human being. Of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of insecurity, centered on I. We can never understand the fundamental problem. And without sorting out the fundamental problem here, and the fundamental problem itself is because of erroneous perception of the self and erroneous perception of, erroneous notion one has about oneself. So this unless and until we sort out the fundamental problem, there's no way of sorting out anything in the world. So the being ignorant, because these people do not, they do not even know there's a common human universal fundamental problem. Because they're not exposed to Shastram. They don't accept Shastram as the Pramanam. But what happens, retaining their fundamental problem, when they try to, okay, accomplish, when they try to work hard, they use only their intellect. However sharpest person you are, when they use your intellect to probe into what is, to discover, to make all researches, can help you arrive at much, much, much subtler facts, relatively real facts they can discover. But all of them will be within the realm of the material world only. So all scientists, that's what they're doing. Nothing wrong. This contribute for the, isn't it, comfortable life in the world. No, they all, we bow to them, respect them. But we should understand all these scientific discoveries, any amount of research a person does using his amazing intellect and any number of subtle facts arrive at, all those facts must be only within the realm of world of duality, material world only. It can never help them, okay, arrive at what the truth behind the intellect. That's why you need to know Shastram, isn't it? Therefore, all these people having the fundamental problem, when they work hard to arrive at the truth, and of course, all of them are right. How right? Relatively right from their own standpoints. They're right. What they conclude, arrive at the conclusion also right, but relatively right. This efforts are relatively real efforts, relatively real steps, relatively real theories. Nobody can deny that. They're relatively real. From their own standpoints, whatever they come to. But the problem is they mistake them to be absolutely real, which is not. That is when, what happens, when, see, they have this, they're afflicted by this fundamental problem, sense of smallness in terms of knowledge. So they want to know more. They come out. What happens? It triggers, isn't it? The smallness. Therefore, naturally, that results in anger. It results in hatred. It results in aversion, the passion. So this knowledge, in spite of working so hard, it has only ragadvesha aspadatvam. Is it? Therefore, basically, the very effort, okay, the research itself is what? Expression of the symptom of their emotional need. If they don't do this research work, they'll go mad. Okay? All this research work alone keeps them healthy. Otherwise, they'll go mad. Okay? This is good. They're very bright. Brighter the intellect, more you must be involved in research work. That's okay, good. But That is why in our education in all our countries we have the education, and all these darshanani are revered because they are validated as what? Stepping stones for arriving at the ultimate fact. Ultimate. They all help them. All these researches, all these discoveries, all their hard works, these systems of philosophy, all of them serve as what now? As stepping stones, a means of preparation for their intellects, isn't it? Finally, to arrive at the truth. So they're all validated from the standpoint of Advaita vision. They all can be validated as useful, meaningful steps, isn't it? Which serve as preparatory disciplines to arrive at the truth. Anyway, so let us read next paragraph now. Shankaracharya says, Taihi anyonya virodhibihi. Taihi anyonya virodhibihi. Asmadiyaha ayam vaidikaha. Asmadiyaha means what? Our person. Asmadiyaha, our person. Vaidikaha, the person who accepts Veda as the pramanam. This person. Ayam vaidikaha, asmadiyaha. Na viruddhyate, he does not contradict with all these different people of different schools of thought, okay, and who are mutual enemies. Asmadiyaha ayam vaidikaha, this our person, a vaidika, who has shraddha in the shastrasti pramanam, therefore who can understand the fact of non-duality being the reality, this person does not contradict with any of those different people of different schools of thought who are mutual enemies. Why he does not contradict? He says, Sarva ananyatvat Atma ekatva darshana pakshaha. See, beautiful. Atma ekatva darshana pakshaha. Sarva ananyatvat na viruddhyate. Atma darshana ekatva paksha means the person whose stand is based on his vision of the oneness of reality, non-duality of the reality, does not contradict with any of them, because for in his vision, all those different schools of thought are non-separate from non-dual reality. Ananyatvat. Got it now? Because an Advaiti can see all those different schools of thought, system, philosophy as relatively real views. They are not totally negated by an Advaiti as totally wrong, false. No. They are all relatively real facts from their standpoints. Okay. And they're all being relatively real. Relatively real is non-separate from absolute reality. Isn't it? Relatively real, various views are non-separate, non-different from the absolute, the only absolute reality. Sarva ananyatvat, due to the non-separateness of non-dual reality from anything which is within the realm of world of duality, this person who has the vision of oneness of reality does not contradict with any of those people of different schools of thought. Beautiful. Shankara Bhagavatpada, he says, Yatha Swahasta Padadibhihi. He gives a nice example. Yatha Swahasta Padadibhihi. A person will not have any contradiction, isn't it? We don't come in conflict with his own hands and legs. Because they're non-separate from oneself. My feet are non-separate from me. Swahasta Padadibhihi. Yatha Swahasta Padadibhihi. Just as one does not contradict with, come in conflict with one's own feet and leg, feet and hands, because they're part of him. He knows the feet are meant for a purpose, hands are meant for a purpose, they're part of them, isn't it? In the same way, the person who sees everything from the standpoint of the absolute reality, ultimate truth, the only absolute reality, ultimate truth, the standpoint of consciousness, when he sees which view is away from, separate from the truth, different from the truth. All views are only Atma. All contentions are Atma. All discoveries are Atma. Atma is not anything, but all are Atma only. Therefore, the person who has this clear vision of oneness of the absolute reality, seeing everything from the standpoint of absolute reality, no problem with any, he can accommodate. So the person of the vision of oneness of reality can accommodate, understand, accommodate, okay? Them, anything from their own standpoint, allowing them to be as it is. A view can be view, that's all. A view cannot change the fact. No contention, no view can change the fact from being the fact. So he says, evam ragadveshadi dosha anaspadat Vat Atmaikatva Buddhi Yeva Samyak Darshanam. Very beautiful. He says, Atmaikatva Buddhi Yeva Samyak Darshanam. Doesn't it sound like English? Atmaikatva Buddhi Yeva Samyak Darshanam. Samyak means what? Right. Samyak means good, well, nice. It's different meanings. Samyak means well, good, nice. Samyak darshan means it is the vision of oneness of reality alone is right knowledge. Atma ekatta buddhi eva. Here he's so strong, okay? Atma ekatta buddhi eva samyak darshanam. The vision of the oneness of reality alone is right vision, right knowledge. Why? He says, Ragadveshadi dosha anaspadatvat. Okay? Dvaitam gives rise to what? Dosham, the duality has the status of being, it is of giving room for ragadveshas. Whereas, Advaitam, or anaspadatvam. He says, Ragadveshadi dosha anaspadatvat. This vision of non-duality does not have the status of giving room for any such, okay, evils, any such defects, impurities, that's passion, aversion, etc. Why? Because in this vision, the common human universal fundamental problem of sense of inadequacy in terms of knowledge becomes resolved for good. The fundamental problem becomes resolved for good. Therefore, everything in just existence in Atma. That is why this is right answer. So what is right? The right knowledge is that which does not cause, which does not cause evils, mental impurities such as passion, aversion, etc. Any knowledge which contributes for the rising of ragadveshas is a wrong knowledge. What is said to be wrong knowledge is what? It's a false knowledge. For anything which is looked upon as false from the standpoint of absolute reality, please understand, is also validated as relatively real. Relatively real. We say food appeases hunger. It's a relatively real fact. Water quenches the thirst. Relatively real fact. Relatively real. And absolutely. Okay. So, evam, in this manner, ragadveshadi dosha anaspadatvat atma ekatta buddhihi eva samyak darshanam iti abhiprayaha. This is what is the clear teaching. This is the message conveyed here. Vision of non-duality, oneness of the reality is the right knowledge, right vision. Because it does not give room for any such mental impurities. Okay. With this, 17th karika is over. Now, Shankara Bhagavatpada introduces the following karika, saying, Kena hetuna taihi na viruddhyate. This person of vision of, the person who has the vision of oneness of reality, the non-dual reality, does not contradict with anyone. Any of people of any of the different systems of school philosophy. Advaiti does not have contradiction with anyone. No contradiction. Why? Advaiti can accommodate everything. This magnanimity is because of the wide vision. Wide vision is because of the oneness, vision of the oneness of the truth. Everything can be accommodated. Isn't it? That's why only if jnanam is there, one can be a person of accommodation, tolerance, and everything. In jnanam, the perspective is different. Isn't it? See, a person who has this clear vision of the reality being non-dual, and that reality, non-dual reality being one's own self, very important. The whoever has the clear vision of non-dual reality must be the person who has the who knows reality as one's own self. No, I know reality. No. Okay, the problem. So Ajnani is the one who has a clear vision of the non-duality of the reality, means the Jnani is the one who has the reality of the whole as, who knows reality as being one's own self. Okay. Such a person, okay, in whose vision reality obtaining as one's own self is absolutely real, non-dual, he can be a person of absolute accommodation, absolute accommodation. There's no contradiction with anything in the world, even any thinker, any views. All views can be accommodated. Such a person alone can be absolutely well-wisher of the whole. Well-wisher of all. Because for that person, there's a second thing. Everything is on its own self, essentially. So he says, why vision of non-duality doesn't allow a person contradict oneself from the others. The reason is given. Advaitam paramarthohi. Advaitam paramarthohi. Dvaitam tad bheda uchyate. Tad bheda uchyate. Advaitam paramarthohi. Advaitam paramarthohi. Dvaitam tad bheda uchyate. Bheda uchyate. Tesham ubhayatha dvaitam. Ubhayatha dvaitam. Tenayam naviruddhyate. Naviruddhyate. Advaitam paramarthohi.
Advaitam paramarthohi.
Dvaitam tad bheda uchyate. Dvaitam tad bheda uchyate. Tesham ubhayatha dvaitam. Tenayam naviruddhyate. Yam naviruddhyate. He only says, what is the reason for an Advaiti to be non-contradictory? Why he does not contradict with any school of thought, any views? This is given. See, in his vision, there's a second thing. The second thing is that I can get angry if I see you as somebody other than me. I can have passion for something. If something, I see something has to be other than myself. I can have aversion towards something if I say, oh, this person or this behavior, this response for my unhappiness. See, the simple psychologist taught, okay? We have hatred, anger towards things which we mistake, when we mistake them to be responsible for my unhappiness, for my failure, for my smallness. If I mistake some things to be source of happiness, then I have passion also. So passion towards anything also is a problem because of the perception of external things to be source of happiness. Aversion towards anything also because the erroneous perception that I mistake the external things to be responsible for one's unhappiness. Otherwise, if the person who discovers, who has the vision of non-duality, the reality, discovers fullness as one's own nature, then he is not dependent on happiness for anything else means. Nothing can trigger, nothing can make him unhappy, nothing can make him happy also. Therefore, there's no need for him to have any hatred or any raga, dvesha towards anybody, anything. This is one reason. Second reason, which is separate from the non-dual reality. All views, all systems of philosophy, all schools of thought, everything is within the realm of the world of duality. And with those views, they think duality is real, isn't it? So, Advaitin can accommodate that. How he can accommodate? He says, Advaitam paramarthaha. This non-duality, the non-dual reality, is absolute reality, paramarthaha. Why it is absolute? What is paramarthaha? What is absolute? Absolute is that which is beyond everything, beyond which nothing else is. What is it which is beyond everything, beyond which nothing else is there? That which can never be negated. Non-abadhitam satyam. Trikala abadhitam satyam, that which cannot be negated at all as non-existent. For anything we negate as non-existent, okay, you must be there. Isn't it? Therefore, what is that paramarthaha? Absolute is that which cannot be negated at all anytime. That which can be negated as an object of knowledge also is paramarthaha. That because of which negation of anything is possible. That which can never be negated as object of knowledge. Isn't it? That is paramarthaha. Where he says, this non-dual reality being the absolute reality, he says, dvaitam tad bhedaha uchyate. Dvaitam duality is said to be only manifestation of that non-duality. Duality is nothing but manifestation of non-dual reality. Bhedaha in this context should be taken as division. Okay. Division means what? Division means, literally what it means here is, so the duality is the manifestation of non-dual reality, which means it is as good as a product of non-dual reality. Duality is as good as an effect, the product of the non-dual reality. Being the manifestation of non-dual reality, it is as good as the product. Okay, product means what? We already understood. It is non-separate. The duality, being the manifestation of non-dual reality, being as good as the effect, the product of non-dual reality, is non-different from the non-dual reality. Non-different. Non-duality is non-separate from duality. Which means, in the vision of an Advaiti, there's only the two orders of reality. Two orders of reality. Non-dual reality is absolute reality. Duality is relative reality. Duality is Vyavaharikam Satyam, relatively real. Non-duality is Paramarthikam Satyam, absolute reality. He does not say non-duality is not there at all. It is relatively there. It is empirically real, relatively real. Whereas, he says, Tesham. Tesham means for those people. Which people? All those, the followers of Kanada Muni, Kapila Muni, followers of Buddha, Arhata, all of them, the dualists for all of them. Dvaitam Ubayatha. Ubayatha means the duality is absolutely real. Empirically also is real. Because what is empirically real is mistaken to be absolute reality. Therefore, the duality is empirically also real. Absolutely also real for them. Because they do not know that it is empirically. It is only for them. This is both. Understand? So, this is being the vision of the Advaitin. For him, there is no such a thing called duality. The world of duality, which has existence independently outside of the non-dual reality. It's only manifestation. It's only appearance. It's as good as the product, being non-separate. Okay? Especially the person who has, and what is he saying? So he knows I, the self, am the absolute reality. Therefore, what this entity of the world of duality is, what now? Non-separate from me. That's why all day he said, just as one cannot come in conflict with one's own hands and legs, this person has no conflict with anything. Therefore, this duality, he knows that this birth or death, everything is within the realm of duality is mithya. Where he says, with this vision, tena ayam na virudhyate, contradiction, opposition is possible if you see another person who is similar to you. That's all secret. Finished. Okay. Who shall I go and fight with, quarrel with? If I am Atma, that vision is there. There's no second thing other than me. My God, cognitive shift has happened means, okay, in spite of living in this world of duality, experiencing the world of duality, in spite of this world of duality being available for experience, interaction, enjoyment, and also enjoying, okay, enjoyment, still a jnani can see what? Okay, seeing one's own self as absolute reality, non-dual reality, he can see, okay, he can enjoy this world of duality, still being, okay, looking at it as what? Non-separate from oneself. Therefore, there's no contradiction. Okay. Now he says, Advaitam Paramarthaha. Now Shankara Bhagavatpada repeats the sentence. Advaitam Paramarthaha. Non-duality is the absolute. Absolutely real. He. Because yasmat advaitam nanatvam tasya advaitasya bedat bedaha nanatvam, this duality involving the world of plurality, manifoldness, is actually product. Okay, the manifestation of that non-dual reality. Tad bedaha tasya karyam. Tad bedaha tasya karyam. This manifestation is what? This tad bedaha, this world of duality actually is what? Tasya karyam, its own product. Its own product means what? Its own manifestation. Its own appearance. In fact, non-duality is not absence of duality. Okay, opposite, no? We always think, duality, non-duality. No. Non-duality is not absence of duality. Non-duality is that which is in spite of duality. Non-duality is not absence of duality. Non-duality is not absence of duality. Non-duality is that which is in spite of duality. Why? Because non-duality is paramarthikam satyam. The two orders of reality can coexist. See, the coexistence is possible. Two things of different orders of reality can coexist. So, non-duality is absolute reality. Okay, absolutely real. Satyam. Advaitam satyam. Dvaitam mithya. Advaitam satyam. Dvaitam mithya. So non-duality is real. duality is as though real, mithya. Therefore, being two, dvaitam and advaitam, come under the two orders of reality. Therefore, it is possible for them to coexist. Isn't it? See, now here is the light. The light is here. The light is one, indivisible, undivided. Isn't it? Here we can see there's a plurality of opaque things which shine. Plurality of opaque things which shine. Because they're illumined. The illumined objects of illumination are here. Are they separate from the light? Are they different from, is light non, light is, there is non-separateness of light from every opaque thing here. It's got non-separateness, isn't it? And there is, you do have the meaning of the word illumination. You don't see through physicalized illumination. You understand what is illumination. And from the standpoint of the illumined objects and the illumination, you can also say what the subject of illumination. The illuminator is light. Illumination, there cannot be illuminator. There's no meaning of the word illuminator without the light. There cannot be illumination without the meaning of the word light. Without the word light. Isn't it? Without a thing called light. There cannot be objects of illumination without the light. Therefore, we see the division. We see this illuminator illumined. At the same time, what? There's we say all these are non-separate from this one light. The non-separateness of one light from this illuminator and the illumined world of things. Opaque things, isn't it? So, here, like this, in the light of consciousness, there is no known duality. That is why there cannot be duality at all without non-duality. How can there be duality without non-duality? Therefore, in spite of duality, there is non-duality. That is why it's only bhedaha. Bhedaha means what? Only manifestations, appearance. That's why being appearance, being manifestation is as good as the karyam effect, product. Duality is as good as the product of non-duality. Not really product, okay? No. Therefore, what he wants to say, duality is mithya. It's a different order of, belongs to different order of reality. Not absolutely real, relatively real. Whereas non-duality is paramarthikam satyam, absolute reality. It is satyam. It is possible for duality and non-duality to be together, inseparably, like cause and effect. Okay. Ekamevadviti. Now he quotes some mantras from, I tell you, by the time we do any bhashyam, these mantras must become memorized. Because these are the quotations, repeated quotations. From Chandogya Upanishad, ekameva dvitiyam. There's only reality, only non-dual reality. And another quote is there. Tat tejaha asrujata. There's atma. Desired atma saw and atma desired created fire. So he again quotes that mantra discussing the srishti to say how the non-duality is non-separate from duality. Duality is non-different from non-duality, non-dual reality, isn't it? Iti shrutehe. See, again, he takes us to the karna karya prakriya by giving one small example, makes us understand how this world of duality is non-separate, non-different from the non-dual reality. Non-dual reality is non-separate from the world of duality. Iti shrutehe upapattehe cha. So first this is the tat tejah asrujata ekameva advitiyam. These are the Upanishadic examples, illustrations for us to understand the world of duality being non-separate from non-dual reality. Understand? Now he gives upapattihi, reasoning, logical example he gives. What is the example here? It's also anubhava. Anubhava pramanam also. Our own experience also is the means of origin here. See, three occasions, okay, we become knocked off. Okay, it means what now? Whenever you do not know you are knocked off. If you are here not knowing your existence, you are as good as non-existent. You are there, you cannot go anywhere. You are always. That's your abhaditam. Who can knock you off? My God, nobody can knock you off. That's it, you are always. Knowing you are. Not knowing you are. When you are not, there's never a time you are not. There's never a time you are not. Even the time is not, you are. When the time itself is not there, you are. The space is not there, you are. Nothing is there, you are. You are not knowing you are. That is sleep. You are knowing you are. That is waking. When are you not? You're always there. And that you who are always knowing you are, not knowing you are, that you are abstract, non-dual reality consciousness. Okay, so what he wants to understand, he gives three occasions, okay, three situations when we are not knowing our own existence. Listen. Chittaspandana abhave. Chittaspandanam. Chittaspandanam means function of mentation. When the mind is throbbing. Okay. The throbbing mind is when? Functional mind is a throbbing mind. Chittaspandanam means throbbing mind. Means functional mind. Abhava means whenever there is absence of the function of mentation. Mind never becomes absent. Okay. Mind is always present. The mind is absent means cremation at a book crematorium. Mind doesn't become absent. Mind is always present. But there is a time when mind is functional, there is a time when the mind is non-functional. Chittaspandana abhavaha means whenever there is absence of the function of mentation. Mean what? Whenever the mind is non-functional. Simple life. Okay. Whenever mind is non-functional, chittaspandanam is not there. Chittana spandana. Spandita chitta means what? The functional mind. Chittaspandanam, functional mind. Chittaspandana abhavaha, mind is non-functional. In deep sleep state, in fact, deep sleep state is said to be state, mind is non-functional. Then we say what? Deep sleep state of the mind. In deep sleep state of the mind, you are not knowing your own existence. You are not knowing the existence of the world. Isn't it? Then no thought rises. The mind is non-functional, no thought can rise. That occasion. In that occasion, what is there is, there's no knower known division. Duality is not there. I am here. I know I am the knower. I know there's the world which is known by me, known to me. That duality is not there. Knower known duality is not there. When there's no duality, division, there's no world of plurality. There's no experiences. When you're asleep, in fast asleep, indeed a world is as good as non-existent for you. The world of plurality, duality is as good as non-existent for you. Isn't it? Then you have non-dual experience. In deep sleep state, you have non-dual experience. when you are just yourself, is what non-dual reality is. Reality is non-dually. The same non-dual reality continues to be there in the waking state also as non-dual reality. The same reality continues to be there as non-dual reality again in the waking deep sleep state, dream state, in all these states of experience. The non-dual reality obtains as the non-dual reality. Okay. Then samadho, another instance, samadhi. The people who are given to this discipline of strictly given to this practice of meditation, it is possible for them to have samadhi anubhava. In samadhi, whether in samadhi also, is only state of experience, a unique set of experience, which people can have as a result of practicing meditation. It's also not nothing more than that. Okay, some sukham is there, definitely. It's not mistaken for jnanam. How sleep is a state of experience which Bhagavan has naturally given us. And here people work very hard, strictly, and they can knock off. Okay. One has to work very hard for that. Not easy joke. Samadhi anubhava. In samadhi also, you are there not knowing your existence. I mean, what, sense what? There, when you are there, but all the thoughts become resolved. Is it? Thoughts become resolved. The mind is as though non-functional in samadhi also. And also Sushupta, he says, Sushupta, there is chittaspandana abhavaha in sleep. Samadho, in samadhi, Sushupta in sleep. Murcha means fainting, becoming unconscious, isn't it? So whenever you faint and become when a person faints and becomes unconscious, until he gets back to conscious, becomes conscious, for that short moment, there is blankness of mind. Mind is non-functional. In deep sleep state, there's a blankness of mind, non-functional mind. In samadhi, there's a non-functional mind. In samadhi, in unconscious state, condition, and also in deep sleep state, mind is non-functional. In all these three different instances, okay, there is chittaspandana abhavaha, mind is non-functional. Then what happens? Then non-dual reality is there. Then from that state, again what? When the mind becomes functional, again duality comes. What he wants to say, when the mind is functional, there is perception of duality, experience of duality. The mind is non-functional, there is non-dual reality. Reality alone is in three instances with the non-functional mind. The mind functions, again, is experience of duality, which means before the function of mentation begins, before the perception of duality, experience of duality happens, what is there is non-dual reality. Isn't it? That non-dual reality is before this. Therefore, non-dual reality is as good as the cause. Duality is as good as the effect. Not really effect. So, when the mind is functional, non-dual reality is. When the mind is non-functional, also, non-dual reality is. Okay, there's never a time reality becomes different. Reality is always non-dual. And it is satyam, the duality just appears. For the duality to be available, for experience enjoyment, the mind must become functional. That's all. Therefore, if you understand this, what is prior to, what is it which exists prior to the experience of duality? Non-dual reality. It's non-duality, isn't it? This example, not stretch it too much. That's not the vision. When there's non-duality, before that, isn't it? When mind becomes functional, then duality comes. That's the idea. Therefore, the world of duality is non-separate from the non-dual reality. That's the idea. Ataha tad bhedaha uchyate dvaitam. That is the reason, okay, that is why duality is said to be its product. Duality is said to be the product of non-duality, being the its manifestation, being non-different from it. That is why a person of Advaita Darshanam cannot have any contradiction with anybody in the world, anything in the world. Dvaitinam tu tesham. He talks about dvaitins. The same page 423. For others who want to follow English, you can see 424. Dvaitinam tu tesham paramarthataha cha aparamarthataha cha ubhayathapi dvaitameva. For dualists, for all these people of different schools of thought, for all of them, okay, paramarthataha, absolutely what is there also duality. Aparamarthataha, okay, non-absolutely, means relatively, what is there is also only duality. Because they do not know beyond what is there beyond. They do not see, they do not see more than what their mind eyes alone can see. They do not see more than what their intellect can see, what their eyes can see. Okay? They're very subtle-minded people. The only problem of not accepting Shastramati Pramanam, they're not able to see what is beyond intellect. Okay, so he says,
it's just, Anoli is just, maybe he's incorrect, because he said, for them there is only supreme reality and unreality.
No, the word, we prefer using the word mithya, relative reality. See, okay. No, I tell you, Swamiji, see, this relative reality, empirical reality, is as good as non-existent. Therefore, they use the term unreal. But we prefer not using unreal, because unreal is, they're not wrong, but unreal is that which does not exist at all. Yeah, tucham. It's not tucham. Asat has two meanings, Samji. One is mithya, one is tucham. Tucham means absolute non-existence. We say unreal can be mistaken to be total non-existence. Therefore, we prefer the word, use the word empirical reality. Okay? See, as though real is saying, the duality is as though real. Okay, seemingly real. Because it's experienced. See, if you say unreal, Swamiji, what happens? It is like a rabbit's horn. No. The world of duality is not like a rabbit's horn. It's not totally non-existent. Duality is available for experience, enjoyment, but it is empirically real, as though real. Why it is as though? Because it is non-separate, has no independent existence. That is why it is as though real. Mithya. Okay. So, dvaitinam tu tesham paramarth tathahaccha aparamarthatahaccha ubhayatapi dvaitameva. For all these dualists, Duality alone is real absolutely. Duality alone is real empirically also. For them, there is no such a thing called absolute reality which is distinct from other than the world of duality. Yadicha tesham bhrantanam dvaita drishtihi. If for those confused minded people there is a perception of duality is real, asmakam advaita drishtihi abhrantanam. Bhranta abhrantaha. Bhrantaha for confused. Abhrantanam for unconfused people who are not confused and in whose vision, okay, non-duality is real. Asmakam abhrantanam advaita drishtihi. Our vision is of the non-dual reality. We who do not have any confusion. Whereas people of confused mind people have only perception of duality. Are they wrong? No. We do accommodate, accept, understand their perception of duality because we also have the perception of duality. The person who has the vision of non-duality still perceives duality, still experiences duality. Whereas the person who only sees duality does not see what is absolutely real, does not have the vision of non-dual reality. Is it clear? People who see the light definitely choicelessly see opaque things and the illumination. But people who see only the opaque things do not see the light. That's the difference. Tena ayam, tena hetuna ayam asmat pakshaha na viruddhyate taihi. Because of this reason, asmat paksha, the person of our stand, in whose vision non-duality is the reality, he does not contradict with those people, the dualists. He gives a beautiful example from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Indro maya bhippu pururupaha iyate. You must have heard this sentence in your Brihadaranyaka class. Indraha maya bhihi pururupaha iyate. Better remember this sentence, okay? Indraha maya bhihi pururupaha iyate. This is a sentence from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. What does this sentence say? This sentence says, only Ishwar, pururupaha iyate. Indraha maya bhihi pururupaha iyate. Iyate means what? Appears, shines. Who shines? Indraha. Indraha, the word Indraha does not mean the Devata Indraha, Ishwaraha, the Lord. Please remember when you say the Lord, this reality is revered as Lord. This absolute reality, the ultimate truth, the paramarthikam satyam, the non-dual reality, non-duality, revered as the Lord, is said to be Indraha. This truth alone shines. In the same way, the Lord alone appears as the one in many forms, pururupaha means what, in multifarious forms, in countless number of forms, how Lord appears? Mayabhihi, through his inexplicable power of Maya. Mayabhihi. If you want Maya Shakti, the reality which is Ishvara is endowed with the power of, inexplicable power of Maya, the only power alone is there as ignorance in all these beings. Okay? He says, what, through this creative power called Maya, Ishvara, only Ishvara, the only who is only Ishvara, only Lord, only truth, non-dual reality alone, appears in manifold forms. Okay. Which means what? The entire world of duality is, the entire world of duality constituted of countless number of forms, names and function. The beings of plurality is non-different from the Lord, the truth. The truth, Lord, the truth is non-separate from the world. Second thing is not there. How is it possible to have passion towards anything, aversion towards anything? This is one thing. So, a side note. Why Bhagavan is called Indraha? Do you remember this? I told this last time also. The Lord is said to be Indraha because the one by whom everything is seen as this. Idam taya drishyate anena iti Indraha. Idam taya drishyate. Idantaya drishyate anena iti Indraha. The Lord is said to be Indraha because Lord is the one by whom everything else other than himself, who is non-separate from himself, seen as this. Idam taya means as this. Idam means this. Idam taya means as this. The entirety of the world is seen by the Lord, the one by whom the entirety of the world of duality is seen, known as this. Which means the known world has no existence independently without the knower. The seen is non-different from the seer. Absolutely. Therefore he says, one more quote comes here. Natu tadvitiyamasti. He again says, Natu tadvitiyamasti. There is no second thing other than that. Natta dvitiyamasti. Iti shutehe. Having quoted these statements, he says how, why non-duality is real, duality is mithya, and duality being mithya, being inferior order of reality, and the non-duality being absolute reality, they can coexist. And because duality, there cannot be something called duality independently without the non-dual reality obtaining as its very adhishtanam, substratum. Isn't it? The plurality of waves and the wave-ocean duality can have existence only the adhishtanam called water. Like that. And when his example comes, huh, he says, very beautiful, how magnanimity, the vision of non-duality blesses a person with a tremendous magnanimity. Really, a person of magnanimity must be the person of the vision of non-duality. One who can accommodate and remain unaffected by anything. remaining non-reactive. Is it? Non-reactive to situations means what? Remaining unafflicted. It is possible only if a person has the vision of non-dual reality. So he says, what is the response of Advaiti towards reactions of dualists? What should be? He says, yatha matta gajarudha. See, matta gajaha means elephant in ruts. Okay, highly intoxicated. Elephant in ruts is matta gajaha. Matta gaja arudaha. The person who has climbed on to this elephant in ruts. Okay, who sits on an elephant in ruts. He is sitting an elephant which is in ruts. Okay, this is and then this person sees another person, okay, who is a mad unmattaha. This madman, he is not on an elephant, he is bhumishtaha. Bhumau tishtati iti bhumishtaha. Okay, bhumishtaha, one who remains on the ground, okay, on the wayside. Bhumishtaha unmattaha bhumishtaha, and the unmattaha bhumishtaha tells this, okay, the mad person who is standing on the ground, he tells this man riding the elephant, hey gajarudaha, oh elephant rider, he says, aham gajarudaha. The madman who is standing on the ground says, aham gajarudaha. Okay, I'm seated on the elephant. Gajam vahaya mam prati. Come on, bring an elephant towards me. The madman on the ground tells the man sitting on the elephant, come on, bring an elephant towards me. I am seated on the elephant. Bring an elephant towards me. Aham gajarudaha. Who tells? Madman. Where is he standing? On the ground. What does he say? That he is gajarudaha. He is sitting on the elephant. Standing on the ground, he says he is sitting on the elephant. And he tells him, mam prati gajam vahaya. Come on, bring your elephant towards me. Okay? Ride your elephant towards me. Iti mam prati iti gajam vahaya iti bruvanam api. Even though this madman tells him like that, the person who is sitting on the elephant, tam prati na vahayati, he does not take his elephant towards him. No, he ignores him. A madman saying something. He ignores him because he understands. It takes a great deal, okay? Understanding of the other person from his background. My God. Okay, understanding of the other person from his background. Oh, he is mad. And standing on the ground, he is telling me that, okay, he is sitting on the elephant. And he is telling me to walk toward. If he is gone, if he is not mad, he tell me, come on, ride your elephant towards me. He won't tell that. Therefore, he only deserves pity. Understand? It's a concern, pity. He does not get angry, doesn't say anything, he does not take his elephant towards him, which means he understanding the person from his background, accommodating, he just ignores. Means there's no reaction on his part. Kauvai avirodha buddhya, very important. Avirodha buddhihi, beautiful word. Avirodha buddhihi means not entertaining any ill will. Avirodha buddhya, because he does not have any ill will towards that person, because understanding. The understanding is possible. You must be sane to understand other person being mad. If you're also mad, a madman cannot understand another man's madness. So this person who's on the seat on the elephant, he's sane. And he's handling very intelligently elephant and ruts. Therefore, madman, a sane man can understand an insane person. Accommodate him. Ignore him. Isn't it? In the same way here, a wise person is a really sane person. He can understand all the insane people. And we don't belittle them, we don't look down upon them. No sane person will look down upon an insane person. We only feel sorry for them. Having pity for them is different from looking down upon them. Oh, you're mad. No, we'll say, because that is the magnanimity, isn't it? Therefore, Avirodha buddhya na vahayati, because of not having any inimical attitude towards him, he does not ride his elephant towards him. Tadvat, in the same way, an Advaiti does not react to all these dualists. Tataha, paramarthataha, brahmavit, atmaiva dvaitinam. Very beautiful. Why? Why an Advaiti cannot have any ill will towards dvaitins? Because absolutely an Advaiti is the very self of all the dvaitis. For you, the person who has the vision of non-dual reality must see the Atma being the only self of all the beings. So dvaitinam Atma Advaiti. He says, paramarthataha brahmavite, the knower of the absolute reality is Brahman himself. Knower of Brahman, for whom Brahman is one's own self, he is dvaitinam atma. The knower of Brahman is the self of all the dvaitins. Tena hetuna, because of this reason, I am asmat pakshaha. Shankara Bhagavatpada says asmat pakshaha. Okay, he says, this person on my side, our side, na viruddhyate taihi, he does not contradict with those people who are of different views and who claim that duality is reality. Viruddhyate taihi. This is the reason. This is the reason why person who has the vision of non-duality of reality does not contradict with any other schools of thought. Again, as I told you last time also, I mentioned this. All of them have their own theories of creation. Advaiti does not have theory of one theory for himself. According to him, there is no creation at all. So there is no need for him to contradict also. Advaiti, in whose vision there is no creation at all, cannot have theory of creation. And they all have their own different theories of creation. So they contradict each other. Advaiti is neutral. And he says, what your theory is correct from your standpoint, based on your principles, based on your steps of argument, you are correct. But you are relatively correct. Relatively correct. So he is also right. From his standpoint, based on his principles, based on the steps of arguments you used to arrive at his conclusions, he is also right. Relatively real. All of you are absolutely wrong. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.